Tune in our hearts together and let's pray for the Lord's blessing. Our loving Father in heaven, tonight we come right into thy most holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it is the way of the cross that leads home. We praise you, our Father, afresh for that precious blood of Christ that was shed upon the cross in order to cleanse us from all our sin. We praise you for that wonderful day in the life of everyone here tonight. That day we came to the Lord Jesus Christ with all our sin. And truly the burden of our heart is rolled away. How often we sing that hymn, burdens are lifted at Calvary. And Jesus is very near. We pray tonight that I would, Lord, come close to every heart in this place. We pray that I would draw us out after thyself. We pray you bring all our thoughts into captivity. Our Father, we confess our sin, we confess our weakness. And Lord, how often we can come to the house of God and while we're in the meeting, our mind, our heart is far away from Thee. But we pray You bring all our wandering thoughts into captivity. And may our focus, our thoughts, our attention be placed upon Christ, our wonderful and great Savior. May we enjoy fellowship with You tonight in this place. We have the promise where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And thou art a God who's not afar off from his people, but thou art a God who is near. We pray you'll minister on to all of our hearts tonight, even in this place. Remember the needs of your people, and those who have burdens and troubles and sorrows and, Lord, problems that we know nothing about, but thou knowest. And we pray that I will come alongside to their hearts. Even tonight, maybe some has wandered far away from me, and tonight finds him cold at heart. We pray that I would rekindle that love, Lord, that joy again, even in our heart of walking with Christ. We've been singing a tremendous hymn, oh, for a closer walk with God. May that be the desire of the hearts of every one of us here tonight. Lord, give me a closer walk with God. We can read in the Word of God of men who walked with Thee, Lord. Think of Noah, walked with God, and Enoch, he walked with God, and those men lived in difficult days. Days of great wickedness and darkness and sin, and yet their whole attention, their whole eyesight was placed upon the Lord. Lord, they followed Thee. Even Caleb, in difficult days when people would not believe Thy word and believe Thy promises, Caleb was such a man that he wholly followed the Lord. So make us like that, Lord. And bless us, we pray, here tonight. As we come to meet around thy word, give us understanding from thy word. We pray, speak to hearts. We pray for the prayer session, even after that, that thou would lead us to the throne of grace. Thou would help us to pray, Lord, tonight for thy blessing. So be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to Psalm 51. It is a well-known psalm, and we want to read from verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be cleared when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than the snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which I has broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Five familiar words, these, of course, are really struck me when we're reading these words there together. We're actually reading the words of a saved man. Isn't that amazing? How often? What he cries for mercy, cries for cleansing, cries to the Lord to wash him, and he shall be whiter than the snow. And sometimes God's people can fall and fall into sin and get away from Christ, and we need to be like David and even pray these words that we've read together. The text tonight is verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The Christian's life certainly is one that should be one of prayer. No doubt about it, as I would read the Bible, prayer is to be a very prominent thing in the life of every child of God. And you think of those words that Paul wrote to young Timothy, man left to look after the church at Ephesus. And he says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And here was young Timothy in charge of a church. He had many duties to perform. He had sermons to preach. He had the enemies of the gospel to face and to fight. And yet Paul, writing to Timothy, he says to Timothy, first of all pray. That's the first thing. And I wonder, child of God, tonight in this meeting, where is prayer in your life? Is it first or is it last? I know there's so many duties when you rise in the morning, especially for mothers at home, but I wonder, where is prayer in your life? Is it last of all? Maybe tonight, before you get into bed, you get down on your knees, or perhaps even get into bed and say a few words to God. It's really last of all. And that's not how it is to be in the Christian life. We are to pray. There's much to pray for, of course. We have to pray for our provisions. Does the Lord Jesus not teach us? Give us this day our daily bread. Every need, everything that we need, everything that we have, where does it come from? It comes from the God of heaven, and we are to pray every day, give us our daily bread. Do we not need to pray for protection? Do we not live in a wicked and sinful world? Do we not live in a weak and sinful body? And yet we are to pray, deliver us from evil. Do we not sin against God daily? Of course. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the child of God is to be a man or woman of prayer. And David, King David, with all his duties and all his performances and all that he had to do in life, we come to the Word of God, we find that he was such a person, that he was a man who took time to pray. You think of the words in Psalm 55 and verse 17. He says, evening and morning and at noon when I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Here's a man, three times, just like Daniel. Three times, three set times a day. He says, I will pray. In the evening and the morning and at noon will I pray. And he says, I will cry aloud. And God will hear my voice. You see, he was taking time to pray. Prayer certainly is also a personal thing. Remember the words of Christ in Matthew 6 and verse 6. But when thy prayers enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that you don't pray publicly at all. Because the old Pharisees went out and they stood in the street and they prayed in public. That doesn't mean that if I do an open air, that I cannot go down onto the street and pray publicly. The Lord Jesus says they were saying their prayers to be seen of men. That's the difference. There's nothing wrong with public praying, like us coming together here tonight and seeking the face of God. Yet, can I say this? Being alone with God in prayer is one of the greatest blessings in the Christian life. Getting alone with God, taking time to be holy, entering into your closet, shutting the door, just you and God, getting down before the God of heaven and the one who is your Father and praying. That's the greatest blessing in the Christian life, and yet we neglect it. And yet we run past the closet door and do not take time to pray. But prayer is a personal thing, greatly. You can see David here praying personally for himself, and the word "me" just continually comes up here in this particular chapter. In verse 1, have mercy upon me. Verse 2, wash me. Verse 2, cleanse me. Verse 7, purge me. Verse 8, make me. Verse 10, create in me. Verse 11, cast me. Then our text, restore unto me, the joy of thy salvation. He brought all his needs unto the Lord. Prayer is a personal thing. And oh, if you can get to that place tonight, and Lord, thou wilt wash me. Even the prayer of Jabez, oh, that thou wilt bless me indeed. Prayer is a personal thing. Here David in our text, we can see very clearly, he prays for the restoration of the joy of his salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And maybe tonight, child of God, these could be your words. Maybe you're in the same place where David was at this particular time, as we see, dying before God, burdened in his heart, lost the joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And maybe these words, even this text tonight, is just for you in this meeting. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There are three simple things from our text tonight. I want to see, first of all, that the presence of joy in salvation. There is joy in God's salvation. Now, that's a very simple lesson, and one that is so true. And I say this because there are many people today who think, you know, if I get saved, it would make me miserable. If I came to Christ, it would spoil my life. I could not give my life to Christ. I could not forsake my sin. I cannot leave my friend. Oh, if I would come to Jesus Christ and be saved like you preach on this pulpit, it would spoil my life. That's all a lie from hell. There's joy in God's salvation. Wonderful and great joy. The very words of David shows that there is joy in God's salvation. And you think of this joy. Think of this joy in relation to their sin, those who are forgiven. In Psalm 32 verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And here the psalmist tells us, who is the happy person? Who is it? Is it a person who's living in sin? Running after sin? No, the Bible tells us here, the one who is forgiven, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, he's a happy person. Every sin has been forgiven. Every sin has been taken away. And the Bible says, well, that's a happy thing. There's joy in God's salvation in relation to sin. All sins are forgiven. Think of that man in Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, who, sick of the palsy, came before Christ. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The man got up and walked. Hadn't walked for I do not know how long. Wonderful day, he was healed. But you know, the Lord Jesus says to him, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. All his sins were forgiven. That's a happy thing to know you are forgiven. The burden of your heart, child of God, you can remember that time that you came to Christ and the burden of your heart had rolled away. There's a happiness in knowing that all your sins are forgiven. I say to you tonight, child of God, that you have been forgiven. And that not just some of your sins has been washed away. Not just some of your sins. Not that God just, that day you came to Christ, he forgave you for half of your sins. But every sin you'd ever commit in life has been forgiven. Past, present, and future. And you see, it is a happy thing to have your sins forgiven. Oh, the joy to know this. How the devil accuses us. How the devil can bring up sin after sin of the past to the child of God. Maybe he's troubling you tonight. But all those sins are forgiven. God remembers them no more. You see, there's joy in God's salvation in relation to our sin. We've all been forgiven. And there's also joy in salvation in relation to our souls. The one who has salvation knows that their soul is saved. That soul that was once lost and steeped in sin, far away from Christ, that soul that was heading for eternal damnation, something wonderful has happened to our souls. The day we came to Christ, the day we cried upon the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm speaking about our soul. And we're saved. That's a happy thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And that's joy. There's joy in knowing that I'm saved, that my soul, which is everlasting, which is eternal, that one day will leave my body and go out into God's eternity, that my soul is saved. There's joy in God's salvation in knowing that we're saved in relation to our soul. Do we not sing that hymn, "We are going to a palace that is built of gold"? Glory to God, hallelujah, where the King in all his splendor we shall soon behold. Glory to God, hallelujah. It's a joyful thing to be saved in relation to our sin, in relation to our soul. Our soul is saved. In relation to our standing with God also in salvation. The Bible tells us that the one who is saved now stands justified in the sight of a holy God. That's an amazing thing, the doctrine of justification. Guilty, no doubt we're guilty. Filthy, no doubt about it. Sinful, yes. Wicked, yes. But justified in the courts of heaven by a holy God. It is God that justifieth. And he has covered his people in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people, not just some of God's people, not just half of God's people, but everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, it stands complete and perfect in the sight of God because we're covered in his righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And that's what's happened in salvation. It's like the Lord has taken off all our filthy garments and he has clothed us in the robes of righteousness, and in the very court of heaven we are declared innocent, righteous in God's sight. See, it is a joyful thing to notice as we are here tonight in this meeting that we are complete and perfect in Jesus Christ. That's a joyful thing. There's joy in God's salvation in these things. In relation to their song, because in Psalm 40 it says he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He's put a new song in our mouth. I don't know what you were like before you were saved, but I knew what I was like. Singing the songs of the world. Not singing hymns, of course. Not praising Christ. Not singing of Christ at all. But oh, that wonderful day I was saved. He put a new song in my mouth, and child of God, he has put a new song in all of our mouths. Even joy unto the Lord, and praise unto God. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, and to sing the praises of Christ. That's one of the things that struck me when I did a mission in 1983. All God's people were singing, and boys, they were happy. And I was as miserable as anything. I was in sin, I was in the world, I was lost. And they were singing, they were joyful, they were happy. Why? There's joy in God's salvation. There's joy in it. Joy in this wonderful salvation. It says in Acts 3, that lay a man in verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked, and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Here's a man set free. Here's a man who has the joy of God's wonderful salvation, and he's going into the temple, and he's walking, and he's leaping, and he's praising God. What a change. What a change it is. The song of God's salvation. We sing that hymn, "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home and glory for the cross of Calvary." Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I will sing my Redeemer. What a wonderful thing to be saved. Maybe you sing about it in the car as you go about your duties at home. You can sing. You can sing to Jesus Christ. You can sing of your Savior. It's a joyful thing. It's a joyful thing to be saved. You maybe don't sing. You maybe make a joyful noise. That's the same thing, isn't it? At least it's full of joy of knowing Christ. You see, there's joy. In relation to their Savior, there's joy. In 1 Peter 1 verse 8, it says, speaking of Christ, whom in us have not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believe him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Peter's writing these people, he says, listen, you have never set your eyes upon Christ. I have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ with these eyes. And he's writing to these people. You have never seen him, but you love him. And you see him not. But here, he said this, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. And here were people that were happy in their Christian life. They were rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were happy. They had Christ as their friend, as their Master, as their guide, as her God. And they were rejoicing with joy unspeakable. You see, it's a happy thing to be saved. Joyful thing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. That is it. We are to rejoice. We are to be a happy people. I hope you're not going about with a big long face on you at your workplace. Maybe say, what a miserable person that is. I know some Christians who nearly think it was a sin to laugh. And I know a person in England one time said there's different preachers who came to preach in our church. He said, no, I liked it with that fella. I said, what was that? He says, he never smiled. Well, he must have liked me too much. Right? Well, that's, you know what I mean? You must think it's near sin, you're not allowed to smile. Well, it's wonderful to be saved. And to know Christ, and you know what I'm speaking about, child of God, that day you came to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your sin, the burden of your heart, it rolled away. Christ Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and we're singing all the day. We're happy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy tonight? Are you happy tonight in this wonderful salvation? Because there's joy in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's these people Peter was writing to. He says they're rejoicing with joy unspeakable. You see, there is joy in this wonderful salvation. And you know the unsaved, as I said earlier on, they think, oh, they make me miserable if I get saved. It'll ruin my life if I come to Christ. The greatest day in our life was the day we came to the Lord Jesus, washed in his blood, and we received everlasting life. So we can draw from our text here the simple lesson, the presence of joy in salvation. There is joy in God's salvation. And I'm glad I have that tonight. There's many things I haven't got. But I've got the joy of God's salvation. And that's a blessing. A blessing from the Lord to his people. There's joy in his salvation. He speaks here about the problem, about joy and salvation. Here David cries out to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, David, a godly man, a man who loved God, a man who walked with God, there's a problem in David's life. David has lost the joy. He has lost this joy that I'm speaking about in our first point. He has lost the joy of his salvation. He has lost the joy of walking with God. He has lost the joy of knowing Christ. He lost the joy of salvation. He did not lose his salvation. And that's a doctrine that I do not like to hear anybody preaching. It's certainly not in the Bible. The genuine born again Christian can never lose their salvation. People can profess and be lost, but they were never saved in the first place. But the one who's truly saved, who knows Christ, born of the Spirit of God, can never, under any circumstances, they should never be lost. And you think of the one word, and we're not speaking about this tonight, but think of Christ, the great words he said in John 10 verse 28, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither, he says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And the idea is that there will be, seemingly people would seem or try to pluck us out of his hand. But it doesn't matter what demons, it doesn't matter about Satan, it doesn't matter about ourselves, neither is any man able. He said, nobody's here. Who's going to do it? Who can pluck us out of the hand of Christ, you see? We can never lose our salvation. I had to learn that by experience, every one of us. I thought, when I first got saved, and then I thought, oh, I'm not saved. I thought, I'm not saved. Oh, I lost it when I failed the Lord. But you can never lose it. But you can lose the joy. You can lose the joy of God's salvation. And David had lost the joy. David could go to the house of God, but David had no joy. David could go to the place of prayer, but David, he had lost the joy. David could go into the place where people were praising the Lord, but David had lost the joy. He could open up the scriptures and read. He could read the scriptures. But David had lost the joy. The joy of all this great salvation. He had lost it. And what was his problem? Well, David had fallen into sin without taking time to turn to that. You can read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David fell into sin with Bathsheba. Because of this fall, a grievous fall and a great fall from David, David fell down into iniquity. And when David fell down into sin, he lost the joy. He lost the joy of his salvation. And here he is crying to God for it. I ask you tonight, have you lost the joy? The joy of your salvation. You're not enjoying the Savior the way you used to. You're not enjoying the services. You can come to church. You can come to the prayer meetings. And you're just really labor to get through them. You don't enjoy the singing. You don't enjoy the supplications. You do not enjoy the scriptures. Because you've lost the joy of your salvation. You've lost the joy. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Not great. Remember your first love. Remember the first time you were saved, and myself, the joy. You couldn't beat us out of meetings. You just loved to go in to hear the word of God being preached, to hear the singing of the hymns and people preaching about Christ, and your heart was blessed. But maybe you've lost the joy in this meeting tonight. The joy of your salvation. I'm just going to rush through these five things. Maybe there's six, but I think there's five. It can take away your joy. Think of the sinfulness in your life. Just like David, if you have fallen into sin, for sin in your life, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, the prophet said. And your sins has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59 verse 2. And if you're dabbling in sin, and if you're falling into sin, and you say tonight, Noel, I've lost the joy. Well, is it? You may be having too far to look, because you're sinning against the Lord. You've lost the joy. It takes away. Sin will take away your joy. The joy of walking with God. What about the prayerlessness in the life of the Christian? If a Christian does not take time to pray and have communion with God, you're going to lose the joy. Remember Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. And you know, if there's prayerlessness in your life, if you're not taking time for communion with God, not taking time to pray, then it's only the sounds to sense. You'll lose the joy. You'll lose the joy of your salvation, of getting alone with God. We've got to take time to be holy. Prayerlessness. Take away the joy. The busyness of our life as well. If a life, a child of God, is so full of other things, he will lose the joy. All work, all leisure, no time for the word, no time for the house of God, so busy in other things, you'll lose the joy. Imagine getting married and taking a wife home. You just sat her in the corner. Maybe that's what you've done. You don't speak to her. I'll tell you this. You soon lose the joy of marriage, wouldn't you? If someone who says the bonds of marriage is not worth much if the interest is not kept up. You say, God, take time. But you've got to take time for God. You've got to. You've got to make time for God, even in your busy schedule. I'm not denying it. Some people are extremely busy. Some has to start work very early in the morning. But nevertheless, you should take time for God. Is that why you've lost the joy? You're running here, running there, doing this and doing that, and not doing the most needful thing. That's what Christ said about Mary. She had chosen the good part. Martha, she was hustling and bustle. She was running about the kitchen. And there was nothing wrong what Martha was doing. But she should have been doing the first thing. And she should have been sitting at the feet of Christ. And Martha had lost the joy. And you can lose the joy, you see, for just running here and running there. Think of the hardness of the Christian life as well. It's not always easy, can I tell you that tonight? In the Christian life, there are battles to fight. There are temptations to resist. We look around us in the work, and sometimes there seems to be no interest. No interest. Maybe prayers have been offered, and you're not seeing the answers. The Lord never said it will be easy. But through much tribulation, you'll enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there is a battle to be fought, and there are enemies to face, but we're soldiers. And we're soldiers in the Lord's army. And there's a hardness. Sometimes people get discouraged because of the hardness and because of the difficulties of the way, and they lose the joy. Have you lost the joy because of these reasons? He says it's difficult. It's hardness. But it's taken away your joy. What about the worldliness? We can let the world in. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. The child of God lets the world into their life. They can lose the joy. The joy of their salvation. The hymn says, what peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memories still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. You've maybe tried to put things, or things have taken over your life where Christ once was. Those peaceful hours you once enjoyed. Now filled with other things. Worldliness, take away the joy, and bitterness, and anger, and wrath in the hearts and lives of God's people can't take away your joy. Their Christians have a chip up on their shoulder, and you couldn't be talking to them for 2 minutes, and the next minute, poof, they'll just explode. We've lost the joy. If that's the case, wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking, put away from you, the Bible tells us. And they lose the joy. And the problem with David, this man of God, he had lost the joy. As I said, he used to pray, but he had no joy. He used to sing, he had no joy. He used to read the Bible, but he had no joy. He had lost the joy of his salvation. Have you lost your joy? Where is the blessedness in you? When first I saw the Lord. Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his love? You remember how it used to be? Full of joy, full of joy. And that's a problem. It lost the joy. Maybe that's your problem here tonight in this meeting. Can I say last thing very quickly about the prayer for the joy of salvation? We can see what David did when he lost the joy. He prayed. You can see the aim of his prayer in verse 8. He says that Psalm 51 verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Verse 15, O Lord, open thy my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And then our text, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And David's down before the Lord. And David said, O Lord, give me back the joy. Give me back the joy of thy salvation. That was the aim of this prayer. Make me to hear joy. Make me to hear joy. Open thou my lips. Just open my lips again, Lord. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. You can see his whole approach. Coming to pray, comes confessing his sin, have mercy upon me, and wash me, and cleanse me, and purge me. And verse 7, wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. You see, David's confessing his sin to the Lord. Lord, I have sinned against thee, and I'm asking thee to wash me, to make me whiter than the snow, Lord. I confess my iniquity. I confess my sin unto thee. Lord, forgive me, and give me back your joy. His whole attitude seen in verse 17. The sacrifice of God, our broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. That word contrite spirit can mean collapse. David's really, in a sense, collapsed before God. He's helpless. Lying, in a sense, before God. He said, Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough of my backsliding, Lord. I've had enough of my sin. And I lay myself at thy feet, Lord. Give me back the joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And the answer to David's prayer, did God answer him? Certainly he did answer him. In chapter 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, says David. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. In verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. But David is singing. David is praising God. Something has happened to David. Oh, in Psalm 51, he's down before the Lord and he's lost his joy. But see here, he's singing unto the Lord. God answered his prayer and gave him back the joy. You know, child of God, if you pray to the Lord tonight with all your heart, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, he will hear you tonight. Come the way David came, just repenting of your sin. Ask the Lord, pray over this psalm. This is a tremendous psalm for God's people who have cold at heart, who have sinned against him. Wash me, Lord, and purge me, and cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Forgive me. Restore unto me the joy. You know, it's nothing like having joy in your heart and knowing Christ and walking with Christ. And child of God, if you happen just to be in this terrible position tonight like David, then cry and ask the Lord, and he will certainly hear your cry and give you back the joy, wonderful joy that's in his full and his free salvation. May God write his word upon all of our hearts. Amen.